All right, Book of Revelation, chapter 20. What's happened? We've been through the rapture. We've been through the tribulation. We've been through the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've been through the second coming of Christ. We've been through the millennial kingdom. And now we come to the Book of Revelation, chapter 20, called the Great White Throne of Judgment, which is a throne where God sits upon it. And because He's holy, it's called the Great White Throne of Judgment. He's holy in His character, and He's holy in His judgment. Thus, the Great White Throne of Judgment, where every person who rejected Jesus Christ from the beginning of time until the end of time will stand before God and give an account of their life. Revelation chapter 20. Let's look, if you will, in verse 11. John writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up death who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Three things we're talking about in these verses. First of all, we talked about the faces of the people. The faces of the people who stand before this judgment. Look again, if you will, in verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it." Now notice this. "From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." These people will stand before God, those who rejected Jesus Christ, and I don't believe they'll be able to look into the face of God. Their face will turn away because they will realize that they're guilty before God. They will realize that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice something else at the end of verse 11, "And there was found no place for them." Okay? They can't go to heaven. That's not a place for them because they rejected Jesus. They really don't belong in hell, though they will go to hell, because hell was created for who? Hell was created, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. So we've talked about the faces of the people. Now, second of all, we've been talking about the facts of their life. The facts of their life. Look at verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who was in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works." There's three or four things I wanted you to see about the facts of these people's life. Because get the picture now. They stand before God at this great white throne of judgment. They can't look at God because of His holiness and also because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They know they're guilty. But then what comes out in this judgment is the facts of their life. We said, first of all, notice their description. Look again at the very beginning of verse 12. "And I saw the dead." They were dead spiritually, though they were alive physically. You see, many people that you will go to work with tomorrow, they're dead spiritually. They do not know Jesus Christ, but they're alive physically. The people that stand before God in the great white throne of judgment will be dead spiritually. In other words, they have no connection, no relationship to God. That's been cut off. But they're alive physically. They're alive in their bodies. So we've seen their description. Then second of all, we talked about the diversity of people that will be there. Notice again in verse 12, "small and great standing before God." The powerful will be there and the powerless will be there. The educated will be there and the uneducated will be there. The religious will be there and the non-religious will be there. The kings will be there and the paupers will be there. People of all walks of life throughout the ages are going to be at this judgment. So we've talked about the description. We've talked about the diversity. Now I want you to see their deeds. This is where we'll begin tonight. This is where we left off last week. And notice again, verse 12, and the books were opened. Circle the word books. And the books were opened. And another book, notice one of them is plural, one of them is singular. Circle the word book. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And then the sea gave up the dead, were in them. Death and Hades delivered up the dead, who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, these people will be judged according to their deeds. They will be judged according to what they did in this life. Now, notice again verse 12. The books will be opened. Now, what books are those? Now, this is what I personally believe. You might not believe this. I believe everything that we think and everything we do, okay, is being written down. Now, who would be writing that down? Who do you think? It would be the angels. That's why there's myriads and myriads of angels, okay? Some would say each of us have an angel. You ever heard that before? It's possible it could be true, okay? So every person, okay, what we've done, now let's talk about the loss now, even though it's happening to Christians as well, that's how we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ, not for our sins, but what we've done for the Lord. What we think and do will be brought up before that judgment, not because we'll be lost or saved, but because what kind of crowns we'll get in heaven. But that's another story. So what will happen is that the books will be open. The books of everybody's life, I believe, of what they thought, their motivations, and what they did in this life. Everyone will be brought up at this judgment. The books were open. The books undoubtedly reveal the deeds of a person without Christ. And it's going to happen is that the deeds of these people are going to fall woefully short of God's standard, which is what? What is God's standard? It's absolute holiness and perfection. That's the standard of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do you remember that verse? Now, as soon as I say that, the first thing that we think as Christians is, I'm not perfect. I get that. In this flesh, we're not perfect. But here's what I want you to know. As a child of God, when God sees you, you are perfect. Now, why would you be perfect as a Christian? Because you've been covered in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, and these people have not. We all realize that as we live in this flesh, as we live on this earth, we sin. You would think when God sees us that we're still sinners in His eyes, but we're not. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so when God sees us, He sees us covered by the redemption of His Son that He paid on the cross of Calvary. But for these people, that perfection has never been achieved. Because you can't live good enough to meet that criteria. Is that right? And so they have no what? Advocate. They have no one to come alongside of them like we do, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they fall short of the standard of God, which is absolutely holiness and perfection. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counteth the blood of the covenant by which he sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. Listen to me. That's what every lost person has done. Every lost person has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has counted the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary as it were nothing. So no matter how many good deeds a lost person has done, they'll never be able to satisfy this perfect standard that God has, which can only be achieved through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, the very blood that they have trampled underfoot and they have made light of. Listen to me, folks. There will be no scales in heaven where we die one day and on one side of the scales, there's the good works, and on the other side of the scales, not so good works. And whoever, which one outweighs the other, determines whether you get to heaven or not. Do you realize most people have some form of thinking like that? Do you realize that? I have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. And the prevailing thought of people who've never been to church very much, never lived their lives for God. You know what I hear over and over again? They were a what? They were a good person. And I'm not trying to say they weren't a good person. But God's standard is perfection. It's holiness. No amount of goodness that a person can do can even get close to that. But most of the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ has some form of theology that centers around that. If I'm just a good person, God will understand and I'll get to heaven one day. But the books at this judgment will reveal a life, listen, of missed opportunities and misplaced years. Not only our thoughts, our deeds, our motives, in that will also be these missed opportunities and these misplaced years that add up to nothing spiritually. Can you imagine, listen, standing before God and having lived 70, 80, 90 years or more, and to see it all disintegrate before your very eyes? Can you imagine what that time is going to be like? Can you imagine the faces of these people when the facts of their life is brought out by a holy and a righteous God? And everything they've done all those years has crumbled and disintegrated into absolutely nothing. Listen to me. They might have gone to church. They might have been a good citizen. They might have been a good mom or dad. They might be a good provider of the home. But none of that makes up or goes up to the level of perfection, of holiness and righteousness, the standard by which we meet God and spend eternity with Him. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ can that be achieved. People that come and go in church, they come on Easter, they come on Christmas, two or three times a year, okay? But they're a good citizen. They're good moms and dads. They're good providers. On the outward appearance, everything about them is good. But listen, they'll stand before God and realize that good was not good enough. Okay? So, at this great white throne of judgment, their deeds are going to be in books. I personally believe recorded by angels. Every thought, every deed, every motive of the heart, every misplaced opportunity and every misplaced year will be there. But not only does the Bible say here that the books will be open, the books of deeds, but also the book, singular, called the Book of Life. Now, the book of life, here's what I believe the Bible teaches. That every person who's ever been born had a place, had a line in the book of life. And I believe if you were able to open that book and look in that book, you would see a lot of blank lines. Way more blank lines than names on the lines. They should have been there. They could have been there. But they were too busy. They were too busy making a living. They were too busy raising a family. They were too busy doing the things of life. And consequently, in the midst of it all, they live life one day, die, and fail to realize the most important thing in life they fail to do. It's important that we tell them. Now listen, don't turn there, but listen to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 7. You, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity or sin, but his blood I will require at your hands. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way and does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity or sin, but you have delivered your soul. Listen to me. Do you realize why these people are at the great white throne of judgment? For the most part, it's because we as Christians who know Jesus, been washed in the blood, never told them. Never took a witness of them. God's going to require that at our hands. What does that mean, Brother Ron? We're going to have to answer for that. We're going to have to answer for every family member that we didn't tell them about Jesus. Every coworker, every friend, every neighbor, what I call your sphere of influence. Not everybody, but who did you have influence with? Now, I know there are family members, there are neighbors and coworkers that we can't reach, and we've tried. The Bible says the blood won't be required at your hand. But how many more have we never spoke up and invited them to church? Ask them about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell them what Jesus Christ has done for us. Listen, the vast majority of people will be at the great white throne of judgment because we who know Christ never gave a witness to what He's done in our life. It's very, very important that we understand that. The most precious book that's ever been written outside the Word of God is this book of life. Let me ask you tonight, is your name in the book of life? Are the names of the people you love and the people you work with, the people you associate with, are they written in the book of life? You say, Brother Ron, how do I go about that? Here's what you do. You begin to ask the Lord through the Holy Spirit to lay someone on your heart. You don't go in tomorrow at work and you got 30 people, 300 people, 1,000 people, okay, and try to go down the line, witness. No. You say, Lord, when I go to work tomorrow, when I go to work next week, the week after, next month, this year, who are you going to lay on my heart? That's the people He wants you to go to. That's how you do it. So let's hurry. We got the facts of these people's life. We've seen their description, their diversity, their deeds. Now I want you to notice quickly their defense. No one in this courtroom, nowhere in this courtroom, will be a defense lawyer. None. Because the people there are without defense. They are guilty, and I believe they know they will be guilty, and their deeds prove them to be guilty. And only the judge, listen, and not the judged, will be talking in that day. There will be no, I didn't do it. There'll be no, I don't belong here. There'll be no, I didn't know. Only heads hung in silence as the judge reads the evidence and eventually passes sins. That's what we'll have here. How will you argue with a holy God who knows everything about your life? How would you do that? He knows you again, your deeds, your thoughts, your motives. Listen to Hebrews 4 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account. Last thing I want you to see about the great white throne of judgment. We talked about the faces of the people. We talked about the facts of their life. Lastly, I want you to see the future of their souls. The future of their souls. Now look at verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, notice that John says, he uses two words. Death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. Death is the grave. Hades, right here in this text of Scripture, is the temporary holding place for the lost until the great white throne of judgment takes place. Now, let's review real quickly. Okay. When a person dies, say they're a Christian, what happens to them? They die, their body goes to the what? The grave, their spirit goes to heaven. Okay. Now, right now, suppose a person dies and they didn't receive Jesus. Well, what happened to them? Their body goes to the grave. Now, where does their spirit go? It does not go to hell yet. Now, why doesn't it go to hell? It's because they've not been sentenced yet. It's because they're not standing before the great white throne of judgment. When a person commits a crime, they'll automatically go to prison. They go to what? The local jail. Until they can have a what? Until they can have a trial. Then they have a trial, and then they go, let's say, to prison. God's the same way. So if a lost person dies, their body goes to the grave. Their spirit goes not to hell, but a place called Hades. Okay? Hades. Now, quickly, because I get this question all the time, and there's a lot of conjecture about this, but this is what I believe. Hades. Okay? Hades has two compartments. Hades, which the lost go to, it's a holding tank waiting for this day. Okay? For example. Now, in the Old Testament, this Hades, or does anybody know the Hebrew word that you find all the time? Sheol. Okay? It's a place that had Hades on the one side, those that rejected Jesus Christ, okay? Or those, say, in the Old Testament who did not believe, okay? The faith of Abraham did not believe in the blood of the sacrifices they were doing. They were in one side. The other side, do you remember what it's called? It was called paradise. Or it's called Abraham's bosom. Anybody remember these words? So what happened is, prior to the cross, prior to the resurrection, okay, now we're talking about Old Testament now, people died and they all went to Hades, but had two compartments. Those that did not know the Lord and those that did. Okay? Those that did, that compartment is known as paradise. Okay? It's known as Abraham's bosom. Quickly, I don't have time a lot for this. Luke chapter 16, we have the man named Lazarus, a poor beggar. The Bible says he died and he went where? To Abraham's bosom. The rich man who lavished himself every day died and went where? To Hades. Okay? You got that? Now, so what's happening here? Finally, Hades is being unloaded. Okay? Now they're going to stand before the judge. They're going to stand in the courtroom of heaven. Okay? The other side of Hades, paradise in Abraham's bosom, that was empty when Jesus arose from the cross. I don't have time to go there. Matthew chapter 27. It says when Jesus was resurrected, the graves were open. That's when the Old Testament believers that knew Jesus or knew the blood, which God counted to them as righteousness, they came out. But this other half right now is going to be unloaded, okay? Those that rejected Christ at the great white throne of judgment. So, John says death and Hades, the grave, and that this part that's been housing all these people waiting for the great white throne of judgment, okay, were thrown into the lake of fire. Now, what is that? That is hell itself. So they're going to be judged. They come out of Hades. They're going to be judged at the great white throne of judgment, and they're going to be thrown in the lake of fire, which is hell itself. It is the prison in which they will never get away from, okay? Now, the Bible calls this the second death. Now, why would it call it the second death? If you're born and you refuse Christ, how many times do you die? Twice. You die physically, and now you do what? You die spiritually. But if you know Jesus Christ, how many times do you die? You die once. You die once, okay? Your physical body, but your spirit is saved. So the lake of fire is a vivid description of hell itself. So get the picture. Basically, if you don't remember what I just said, remember that Hades is going to be unloaded, where people have been without Christ for millennia. Okay? It's going to be unloaded. Okay? That's the jail cell that they've been waiting for trial. Now, the great white throne of judgment is the trial. Once they're tried and found guilty, now they're going to the prison, which is called the lake of fire, which is now hell. Listen to me. Nobody's in hell right now, besides a few demons we talked about here in the early part of Revelation. Nobody's in hell. They're in Hades, waiting for this day called the great white throne of judgment. It'll be empty, and then they will go to hell itself or the lake of fire. Okay? Now, the people in Jesus' day were familiar with this term. It was called Gehenna. Does anybody know that name, Gehenna? Or the valley of Ben-Hinnom. Now, in the Old Testament, the valley of Ben-Hinnom was a place where many children were burned in sacrifices. Remember that? I'm going through 1 Kings in this overview now, and I'm seeing a bunch of that. In Jesus' day, does anybody know what it was? It was a garbage dump, is what it was. The fires of the dump burned continually. There was a foul-smelling smoke that filled the air. The dump was infested with maggots. Okay, this is in Jesus' day. Bodies of criminals were dumped there in this awful place. Now, I'll give you one more passage of Scripture. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. Now you're going to find how Jesus describes this place. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 42, and we'll close. Jesus says, Jesus talked a lot about hell. He did. Listen what he says as he gives a description of it. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown in the sea. Now watch, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that is never quenched. This dump outside Jerusalem called Gehenna, the fire was never quenched. It burned night and day. You see the parallel. Verse 44. Now watch, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In Gehenna, this place southwest of Jerusalem, this garbage dump, the fire was never gone, and there was maggots because of all the dead decay that was there. The worm does not die. The fire is not quenched. And verse 45, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into fire that shall never be quenched, where that watch, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And then he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to cast into hell fire. Is Jesus telling us literally to cut off our hand or foot or cut out our eye? No, he's just saying it would be better to do that than to go to this place called hell. This lake of fire. It would be better if you could do that, would keep you from this place. That's what he's saying. He's making a comparison where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now look back over Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 15. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, into hell itself. You say, Brother Ron, will we as Christians see that? I don't know. I really don't know. Can you imagine? Your mom and dad? Your brother, sister? Your grandchild, your great-grandchild? Can you imagine your buddy? Your friend? Can you imagine that relative that you never talked to Jesus about? That coworker that you worked beside his desk for 30 years, can you imagine what they're thinking? You know what they're thinking? Why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't that Christian that called himself a Christian at work, why didn't they tell me? Why didn't the preacher preach about hell? It's going to be a popular topic in that day. Now if you preach about hell, nobody comes to church. How are you supposed to warn them? Now I don't talk about hell every Sunday, do I? No, but I do talk about it. Why didn't the preacher talk about hell? When I get this visual picture of someone being cast, screaming and yelling, in a lake of fire, and they're never going to get out. There is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. It's appointed to a man, what, Ken? Wants to die, and then what? The judgment. Folks, what did I tell you about the book of Revelation? It's an evangelistic book. If you have studied with me these last umpteen weeks and all you did was fill your head full of knowledge of what's going to happen, I'm grateful for that. But if it didn't spur you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, then I failed. It's an absolute failure. That's why we give an invitation almost every Sunday. You know, invitations are out of vogue now. Brother Ron's going to give an invitation. I don't know when the Spirit of God is going to work on a heart. Oh, folks, this stirs me. I pray to God it stirs you. Listen to me. I pray to God it stirs this church. May we never be a church that doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and offer men and women, boys and girls, the opportunity to receive Jesus into their life. May we never be a church that gets away from that. If we do, we might as well close it down. Turn this into a theater of some sort. The Great White Throne of Judgment. Do me a favor. I never give you homework. I'm going to give you homework. Read chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 this week a few times. And then when you read it, ask God to begin to reveal to you someone who needs Jesus Christ in your sphere of influence. And ask the Lord how you can help that person come to church, how that person can receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that you might be a witness to them and at least tell them what Jesus has done for you. How many will do that this week? Read Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and ask God, God, who is it that I need to talk to about Jesus Christ? Give a witness to, be a light to help someone to come to know Jesus as their Savior and the Lord.